शुक्लां भरधरं विष्णुं शशिवर्णं चतुर्भुजं प्रसन्नवदनं ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। Yudhishthira, having been crowned, was still not feeling complete or contented. So he was requested, or he was told, to approach Bhishmacharya, the great Pitamaha, and ask him what he should do. Draw all the wisdom of his life that he has lived, and understand what would be the purpose of life. That's the ultimate thing. See, the problem is, most of us live our life and then try to understand the purpose. Actually, we should first understand what the purpose, set the goal, and then align all our life activity with reference to this goal. That's how we should live. You know, there was a great archer who used to hit. All his arrows were bullseye. So, even the Olympic champion has not hit 100 out of 100. So, he went to him and said, "Please teach me. I would like to learn from you." He says, "There is a secret you got to hold on to if you want to learn from me. You must give me a promise." He says, "Sure, what is that?" He promises and says, "I will keep it with me, I will not tell anybody. Give me the secret, reveal the secret." And the guru says, "See, the problem with you fellows is you draw the bullseye first and then shoot. In my case, I shoot and then draw the bullseye." So, all of us are living our life like that. We keep shooting, and then we keep drawing the target around it. We really do not have the sense of purpose in life. That's the problem. The moment we get a purpose in life clear, once that clarity is there, then at the material level, physical level, emotional level, intellectual level, at all levels, we will align ourselves with reference to that goal. That kind of living is called real living. Simply following your senses and the mind is not real living. See, what happens is, the senses, having received the signal stimuli from the world, they pass it on to the mind within, and the mind reacts to the desires that exist and produces more desires. As a result, what happens is, the mind craves, and then it directs the intellect to give instruction to the organs of action to run to pursue the object and fulfill the desire. And this is how we are living. Constantly receiving the stimuli from the world outside and developing desires, and to fulfill our desires we constantly run. So there is no purpose, there is no goal. The way of life that we lead today cannot be called as proper living, because we are only being driven by our senses. So therefore, through your this kind of a lifestyle, whatever you may achieve, even if you achieve the kingdom like Yudhishthira, you will not be contented. That's what they want to say. See, in the invocation to Bhagavad Gita, which is given by Madhusudana Saraswati, when he talks about Sri Krishna, he says, in one hand, he shows, you know, mudra, jnana mudra. On the other hand, he has a cane. the cane in the hands of Sri Krishna is very symbolic. Sri Krishna is a cowherd boy. So he had to drive the cows to the pasture land every day morning and then drive them back to the cowshed. So he had a cane to drive them to the pasture land. They will, you know, whole day they'll eat all the grass and everything. And then they'll be driven back to the cowshed where they come back and they cut chew. They bring back their, you know, what they ate and then they cut chew. This is how the cows live. So the cane in Sri Krishna's hand indicates that we can live like this. Like how the cows live. The eyes, ears, nose, tongue and skin can be driven to its respective pasture land every day, go around, indulge in the color and form, smell, taste, sound and touch. And evening or weekends, you sit and keep on chewing the same experiences. You know, ruminating over the same experiences and develop what is called as vasanas and continue running, fulfilling, running, fulfilling, feeling not contented, again run, again fulfill, again feel depressed, again run. This is one way of living. That's what is indicated with the cane in Sri Krishna's hand. In the other hand, he shows Jnana Mudra. So in this Jnana Mudra, again this is symbolic. Now, this index finger we use in our life to warn people or say, you did it, you. So, when you separate yourself from the total and you create an individuality for yourself, that's the ego. So, this index finger represents ego. And a thumb is very important for the palm. Without the thumb, the palm becomes useless. So therefore, the most important thing for the palm is thumb. Similarly for life is Atma. Without Atma, there won't be any sentiency. Because Atma is the one which lends sentiency to the erstwhile insentient body, mind, intellect. Therefore, the thumb represents the Atma. The index finger represents the ego. Today, our ego is attached with the body, mind and intellect. The little finger, ring finger and middle finger represents the body, mind and intellect respectively. So this ego today is attached with the body, mind and intellect. That needs to be detached from the body, mind and intellect and attached to the Atma. This is Jnana Mudra. So when the ego detached from the body, mind and intellect, attaches with the Atma, the thumb, it makes a circle. Circle has no beginning, no end. A circle has no beginning, no end. So, which means what? Infinite. So therefore, when you detach yourself from merely fulfilling your desires at the body level, mind level, intellect level, and associate with Atma and pursue the higher goal, then slowly, slowly you merge with Atma and become infinite, which has no beginning, no end. So either you can live like this or you can live merely fulfilling your desires. You know, the choice is yours. This is all Sri Krishna says by that cane in one hand and Jnana Mudra in the other. And majority of us live like driving the cows to the pasture land and driving them back to the cowshed. That's what we are doing. And we equip ourselves with more intelligence if possible, which will give us more money so that we can indulge a little more. Otherwise your option will be less. You will have to be indulging within your house or your community or your city. If you have more money, you can get out of your city. You can get out of your state. You can get out of your country. Nowadays, you can even go to space. know, now the thing is started now. People can start going to space now. Going to London, Hong Kong, China and all will become a little boring now. So we'll have to go towards space now. We'll keep on moving from here to there, to there to here. So, all this is because we have put the cart before the horse. We have not put the horse before the cart. The cart is there and we are putting the horse before the cart. That's wrong. Sorry, cart before the horse. That is wrong. We should put the horse before the cart. So therefore, Yudhishthira also lived like us. You understand? And now that he got the kingdom and everything, he is not contented. He goes and asks, what is that one devata by worshipping whom I can get that contentment? What is that one goal reaching which is nothing else remains to be reached? And with my organ of speech, whom should I chant? And with my organs of hand, whom should I do puja to? Of all the dharmas, what is the highest dharma? Of all the dharmas, what is the highest dharma? And then, at the mental level, whom should I do meditation, japa upon? So that, let me develop that contentment, that inner contentment. We are not talking about the external pig's contentment. We are not saying, he has become contented and become lazy. That's not what Vedanta says. See, a lot of people become contented, but that's not true contentment. That is pig's contentment. A pig is happy sitting in the slush. You know? So there is no effort. They do not want to put in any effort. Like in the beginning, today's class, you know, we have been sitting at home. Now suddenly you have to go to work. So to get yourselves moving becomes difficult because you have gotten used to laziness. Tamas. It's tough, you know. So something has to drive us. So in life, there are people motivated by stick. There are people motivated by carrot. Very rarely there is a person who is motivated by the inner inspiration or the knowledge. So the tamasic is driven by came. Punish the fellow, then he'll run. Oh, if I don't go to work, I can't survive. So he has to run, run, run. Danger has come, then he will run. That is tamasic. Rajasic fellow, desire. Carrot is hanging in front of him, he will run. And then, sattvic person has a knowledge. Life means action. Inaction is death. So I must continue to act. I can't sit and eat. And with the knowledge, he will be contributing for the higher. That's how he lives. So, that is pig's content. You know, when you're lazy, lethargic, you sit down, don't want to do anything. That is pig's content. That's not what he's talking about. Other is rajasic. How much ever you get, you are not happy. You're not enough. It's not enough. You feel that you need to still get more, more, more. You tie your present happiness with your future achievements. That's also not going to help you. Because how can the present happiness be tied to future achievement? So once you get the knowledge, you will be contented with what you have. And you will have the knowledge of your potential. So you would, with contentment, go about achieving your potential. So that is called the inner contentment. So you think, which devata, how do I use my body, the organs of perception, organs of action, the mind, all this, how do I use so that I reach that ultimate goal? And what is that goal I would like to? And when Bhishmacharya answered, he said, that goal is within you. He is the, you know, he is someone who is within you. That goal is not without. And as long as we keep running outwardly, we will not find that happiness or satisfaction. So that goal is Mahavishnu, who is all pervading and is seated in each one of our hearts as the pure consciousness. Upon merging with the pure consciousness alone, you will gain that contentment. There is no other way of getting that contentment. So therefore, in different shlokas, he answered all these six questions. What are the six questions? Kimekam Devatam Loke Kimvat Ekam Parayanam. First thing, what is that one Devata? Then Parayanam, what is the supreme goal? Then Stuvantakam, whom should I chant? Then third, fourth is Kam Archantaha, whom should I worship with my hands? And then fifth question, what? Of all the dharmas, what do you think is the highest dharma? Highest dharma is working for the self. See, whenever you get a confusion about what is my dharma, the highest obligation becomes your dharma in that context. Please understand. If there is a conflict between the lower and the higher dharma, it is very simple. You have to choose the higher dharma. If there is a conflict between dharma and adharma, then obviously you have to choose dharma. But within dharmas, there is relative and absolute dharma. So if there is a conflict between the lower and the higher, you have to choose the higher. Therefore, of all the dharmas, the highest dharma is to get back to the self. Nothing else matters. Your mission in life is to realize the self. There is no other mission in life. And you will say, I am not bothered about this mission, I have some other mission. You do not know, you have the same mission. It is just that you do not know that you have a mission. Because what you are searching for is infinite, but only thing is you are searching for it through the finite. So you will never succeed. You will never be able to succeed. So, all these stories and everything is given to us to communicate this. So therefore he said, of all the dharmas, the highest is to reach the self within. And then he said, whom should I meditate, do japa, 1,000 names. I will give you 1,000 names. He's going to say that. So you should do japa upon the Lord. Upon the Lord, why? Because, see, remember this. This is something which you need to understand. It's very, very practical. Take, for example, any habit. Any habit. Cigarette, alcohol, nail biting, whatever it may be. Now, you cannot get out of these habits till you establish in something higher and develop higher awareness. Other is not possible. If you brood over them, I will stop smoking from 1st of this year. A lot of people take New Year resolution. It only stands for 10 days. 10 days also is too much. Maybe 2 days, 3 days. After that becomes difficult. Why is this? Because in your subconscious, you are saying, I will not smoke. In your subconscious, you are saying, I will not smoke. When you go to the theaters or when you go to the airport or any common place where the public gets together, you would see, you know, there's a picture of cigarette burning and over that, they would have put a cross mark. What does it say? When you see that picture, what does it say? What does it say?
Danger of smoking.
No smoking. Correct. But what is the image that gets formed in your head?
the lit cigarette.
Exactly. That's all. So, what is happening is, you are seeing a picture where there is a lit cigarette over which there is cross, which is saying do not smoke, no smoking. But when you see that, the cigarette is already come to your head. This is the problem. So the moment you say, I will not smoke, I will not drink, I will not do this, I will not do that, I will become healthy. So when you say, I will be healthy, what does that mean? What are you actually saying?
That you're not healthy at the moment.
Exactly. So, you are not healthy. So, you're feeling unhealthy. You understand? And that feeling will create more and more strength and the same thing will repeat. So, the way to overcome weakness is not to brood over weakness. Is to consciously start thinking about strength. Remember this. This is what you need to remember. You keep on ruminating over the lower things, you will only be thinking about it. So you should stop thinking about the lower. So what to do? Consciously start thinking about the high. So different names are given, thousand names. And you keep dwelling your head on the meanings of those thousand names. As you do parayanam japa. You know, when you keep doing all this parayanam and japa, and you keep dwelling on this thousand names, what you are doing is, you are not saying, I will not do this, I will not do that. You are not saying any of those negative things. Because saying negative things is not going to help. Instead, what you are doing, you start doing parayanam. When you are doing parayanam, you are consciously repeating those words and the meanings come to your head. And the thoughts go in those directions. So what happens is, you are creating another kind of a, you are actually, what is happening is, by not thinking about the old things that you used to do or say, they dry, they weaken and they die. And the new thing gets established. This is how Chitta Shuddhi, Chitta Vishalatam and Chitta Ekagratam happens. Therefore, he said, in verse number 16, he said, Pavitranam Pavitram Yo Mangalanam Mangalacha. Daivatam Daivatanam Cha Bhutanam Yogya Pita. Beautiful verse. Pavitranam Pavitram. Of all the purest, it is the pure. Purest of the pure. So purest of the pure in the sense what? When you take up his nama and dwell upon the meaning of that nama for a while, it cleanses you of all the materialistic thinking which binds you ultimately. So it makes you pavitram by merging you with pure consciousness. Therefore he says, pavitranam pavitram yo mangalanam mangalam. Mangalanam cha mangalam. It's the most auspicious of all the auspicious things. Why? Upon realizing the self and merging with pure consciousness, what happens? Thereafter only the good things happen to you. Why? Because you become aware. Once you become aware, it's impossible to bind yourself. Not possible. Only when the awareness is not there, you will bind. You remember my example. By now it's become a famous example. If I start taking my hands, if I put my thumbs around my mala, my class members start saying, I know what you are going to say. What is that? What example is that? Does anyone know? Like Sahasranama, I have told this 1,000 times.
The beads, the thread. The thread, it binds the beads.
Oh. That is there. That is the Bhagavad Gita example, Adi Shankara, Sri Krishna gives in 7th verse of chapter 7. That's different. See, when I am talking with you, I can play with this unconsciously. You know, I don't have to be conscious. I can just go around playing with my mala. And then I can make a knot unconsciously. Now if I want to remove this knot, can I remove this knot unconsciously as I am playing? No. The moment I need to remove the knots, I need to become conscious, focus. When I become aware, conscious and focused in life, then I can remove all the knots. Why have you put all the knots now in your life? Because you were unaware. If you were aware, you would have not put the knot. Not possible. Oh my God, I should have not eaten that last laddu. What happened? Hare yaar, that laddu I saw, then that's it. I lost my awareness. Desire took over. I just put it in. And my host was also very sweet. Ek aur kaho, bada kaho. You know, as you almost fed it into your mouth. So you kind of, you know, lost your awareness, gave it to your desire, and now you are holding your stomach. So, why this happened? Because you lost your awareness. So, when you get closer and closer to the Atma, and when you merge with Atma, you become absolutely aware. 100%. Thereafter, what will happen? Only auspicious things can happen to you. There can be no tying business, no bondage thereafter. Therefore, he says, Mangalanamsa Mangala. Daivatam Daivatanamsa. Why? Because all the devatas go to him. You know, if you read the Puranas, the asuras go in trouble with devas, the asuras and rakshasas. They can trouble the devas. And what do the devas do? They thereafter, after they cannot tolerate this anymore, then they go to Mahavishnu. And then they appeal to Mahavishnu. They say, this is the atrocity that has happened. You know, you must come and help us, save us. And then Mahavishnu comes down, takes avatar, deals with the asura, and then resurrects the dharma. They studied all these stories. So, daivatam daivatanamcha means even aspiring to become a devata is not going to give you that contentment. Because the devatas themselves go to him during distress. So what you want, why people want to take some other country's citizenship? See, now there is, it's a very disturbing situation going on in Afghanistan. Somebody sent me that WhatsApp, what is happening in Afghanistan. They are showing the flight where the people are trying to board the flight from all different ways, you know, whichever way possible. People are trying to flee that country. That's what they're showing. So now, why? Because they think they cannot live there. They cannot survive there. They are feeling the heat now. It's too much. They cannot stay there anymore. Whichever way they can get out. Doesn't matter where I go. They don't even know where the flight will go after taking off. They don't care. They just want to get out. You know? So, we are trying to go from this country because we think, yeah, this is all bakwaas here. So let's go to America, let's go to Canada, let's go to New Zealand, Australia, you know, all these places people want to keep moving, going. See, if the purpose takes you, it's a different matter. There is nothing wrong in that. But because you think this place is binding you, therefore you want to run away, therefore you want to get away, then you will never be happy because you will be moving from one place to another. I know so many people, when I used to be in Middle East, there are people who used to decide and go to Canada. Because they take the decision sometimes. They have applied, they have got everything, and then they come and discuss. And sometimes they tell me, sir, I've taken the decision, I'm going, but I'm not sure whether it's the right thing. I said, oh, forget about everything. Already he sent his wife and children. Now he's saying whether it's right or wrong. Doesn't matter, we'll just go. But you know what they do? They do all these kind of things. They put their wife and children there and they will work in some other country, which I am told they are not supposed to legally do. But they do all this kind of nonsense. Why do they do? Anybody? Why do they do? Especially they work in Middle East countries when they have their kids and all of them in US. Sorry, Canada. Why do they do that? Nobody's answered. Why do they do that? No idea. I can't hear.
They feel it's not safe for the ladies.
They feel it's not safe for the ladies? No. They go there because they say children's education is free up to 12th standard. And health is covered free. Health is free. Education up to 12th is free. And then when they join the college, if it's within their state or something, they get 1/3 fee only they have to pay. Otherwise college fees are very high there. Isn't it? So they put the wife and children there and they come away to Middle East because in Middle East they work and earn, they don't have to pay tax there, but they don't declare there. They're not supposed to do this kind of nonsense. But they do all this. Why? You are so selfish. You want to take. When you go to a country, go to give. Don't go to take. When you go anywhere, when you go to meet anybody, by chance you meet also, let it be that you gave them something. You think like that. You believe me, wherever you are, you'll be happy. But if you think, you know, wherever I go, I must get, I must draw, I must get, I must get, I must get, I must squeeze. You can never be happy. Impossible. See, yesterday, this is something very interesting. This has happened to many of us many times. But since it happened yesterday, I remember it vividly. Yesterday in Chennai, you know that I'm right now in Chennai. So I was driving from one place to another. And in between, I felt like having tender coconut. You know? So I saw some old lady sitting there. So I stopped the car and said, me and my wife were there. So we said, give us one each. She gave us one each. And we had. And she said, shall I give you one more? I said, okay, give us one more each. So we had two each. The second one, what she gave, you know, when she cut and gave, she felt that the second one, the water is less. You know? So she said, sir, I'm sorry, there is little water in this, so I'll cut one more. Which means what? She's going to charge me only for four. But she is giving me fifth one. And she is just selling tender coconut. 35 rupees, she said, one tender coconut in the heat. She is sitting and selling. And she is ready to give me five. But she will take only four. Amount for four only. So, I said, she is really rich. She is rich. If you want to know what is richness, this is richness. She's saying, sir, when we buy this in, you know, bulk, we don't know in which, how much is there and all. So I'm sorry, sir. So you please drink one more and pay for me only four. I just took some money and gave her, I gave her more than, you know, five. I said, keep the change. See, the mentality of that lady, unbelievable. You understand? And I'm sure she's probably borrowing some money and buying this and then selling and paying it back with some interest. This is how they survive all these ones. They don't have money for their, you know, investment. So they'll buy, take some loan, and heavy loan interest they pay for that. But in spite of all that, she is thinking from my point of view. This was incredible. This is called richness. Remember this. Don't count your richness with reference to what you have. You count your richness with reference to what you can be without. Remember this. Your richness has to be counted with what all you can be without. So, these people are going to all these countries and all these things. I'm not saying everybody, but some of them, they are doing these kind of things. Every day they want to take and take and take. The mentality is like, how can you be happy wherever you go? You cannot. So even if you become Deva, this Indra fellow is highly insecure. Because his seat is also not permanent. You understand? And somebody else can occupy his seat. So he is constantly disturbed. Anybody is doing tapas, sitting and doing tapas, he is scared that they may become Indra. So he sends Ramba, Urvasi, Telotama, all this, he has Menaka, you know. So he sends one by one, go dance, disturb that fellow. Disturb his tapas. Because of insecurity. You can sit in Devaloka, but you will not be happy. You can be shaken. So therefore, Devatam, Devatam. Devatanam. Of all the Devatas, is the Lord of Devas. The divinest of the divinities. Because these Devatas, when you go, they give you. You do puja to different Devatas. And you satisfy them, then they bless you with the good result. But who is enabling them to give this result? See, supposing somebody is coming to you. Some foundation, let's say they are working for poor people or some, you know, orphans. Some foundation is approaching you and you are taking a checkbook, taking your check and then signing. Nicely you are signing one check and then giving them. And then you are feeling great. You are doing good work. You are doing good work. But that good work you were able to do, why? How were you able to do that good work? Anybody?
God's blessings,
even
he given that.
Atma is enlivening your mind, intellect, your body, your hand to sign. Otherwise it is jada. The hand has no power to write or hold or act. It is given sentiency because the Atma is enlivening it. So when you are giving a check, understand, he is giving through you, you are not giving. Or from a relative level, if you understand, your parents brought you to this world. They taught you to read and write by sending you to school, by providing you food, shelter. Your teachers taught you. So many people worked for you to be able to now sit and write the check. But you are thinking that you are doing something. So, whatever Deva you become, if this humility is not there, you cannot be happy. And that humility is what? When your ego surrenders to the highest. And that is the Vishnu. Therefore, he says, Daivatam Daivatanamcha. Beautiful. Now, when you remember these slokas, understand it in this depth, and then when you do this Parayana, it will take you somewhere else. Bhutanam Yaha Avyaya Pitaha. And he is the father of all the Bhutas, of all the beings, of all the creatures. And what kind of father? Imperishable, Avyaya Pita. He is the Pita. Pita means what? Provider. With his help only you are doing everything. But you forget everything. So therefore he says, Bhutanam Yaha Avyaya Pitaha. The father who is imperishable, who cannot be seen, who is unmanifest. that father is enlivening you, providing you. Therefore, you are able to do all these things. So, he is the imperishable seed. You understand? So, he is the source, he is the cause. So, always the source should be worshipped. That's why he says, when you worship the source, then you become Pavitram. Next verse. Yata sarvani bhutani bhavatyadi yugagame yasmin chakralayam yanti punareva yugakshaye. Yata sarvani bhutani bhavatyadi yugagame yasmin chakralayam yanti punareva yugakshaye. From him all creatures proceed in the beginning of an age, and in him they are absorbed again at the end of the age. So in other words, Mahavishnu is the Srishti, Sthiti, Laya, Karanam. Srishti means creation. Sthiti means sustaining, maintaining. And Laya means dissolution. So he says, from him all creatures proceed in the beginning of the age. First Brahma comes. Then he creates the world and the whole thing comes. In him, they are absorbed again at the end of the age. See, you make all these buildings. You make all these buildings. What is this building made up of? Sand, cement, steel, wood. All this is coming from where? Sand is coming from where? Cement is coming from where? Steel is coming from where? Iron rods. What are these iron rods? Where are they coming from?
And where is it?
Coming from earth. And then what happens? It goes back to the earth. Again you build, again you get back. So the whole thing is coming from that only. Again and again. It's like, same thing. It's going on. The Prakriti is manifesting. Going back to Prakriti. Prakriti is manifesting, going back to Prakriti. See, you must understand the Krama. It is given in Tattva Bodha. I think I have mentioned this in our classes. Beautifully Tattva Bodha explains this. There is only Brahman. Nothing else other than Brahman. When we say Brahman, Nirguna Brahman. Brahman beyond Gunas. Brahman beyond Sattva, Rajas, Tamas. And that Brahman is infinite. So it has infinite Shakti. Okay? Infinite Shakti. That infinite Shakti is called Maya. Now, when you talk about Brahman, you say Nirguna. But the moment you bring in the Shakti and talk about three Gunas, it's called Maya Sahita Brahman. That Maya Sahita Brahman, another name which is called Ishvara. Okay. Brahman, in whom the potential Shakti is there. But the moment the potential Shakti is identified, then it's called Ishvara. So, Ishvara is Brahman plus Maya. And the Maya is subservient to Ishvara. Maya cannot control Ishvara. Ishvara controls Maya. And what is Maya? Made up of three gunas, or three powers, three Shaktis. What are they? In life, if you see in the world, there are three forces. What are they? Things, like Newton says, an object will remain in static or in motion unless and until an external force acts upon it. Correct? It will either remain in static condition or in motion unless and until an external force acts upon it. So there is static force, there is kinetic force. In other words, the static is stagnating force is tamas. The other force is kinetic, running, active, action. Now, if only action is there, then what will happen? Imagine, whole day you are going on acting, no rest for the body. You will die. isn't it? Or you are only resting. No action, then also you will die. So now, there has to be active force, action force, and there has to be stagnating force. Stagnating force is tamas, acting force is rajas. And there is another force called the knowing force, the knowledge. You know both of these. And that knowing force is the balancing force called sattva. Okay. So all this is inherent in Brahman. Now this sattva, rajas, tamas comes out. First it's there as a potential only. Now for example, you are sleeping at home. You are sleeping. And then when I come, I don't know how much of sattva you have, how much of rajas you have, how much of tamas you have. Because it's all unmanifest. Now you get up in the morning. Then till you go to sleep next day night, you are manifesting your tamas, rajas and sattva. So I know how much sattva you have, how much rajas you have, how much tamas you have. Because you are manifesting it. Now, when you are sitting in Vedanta class, the sattva is manifesting. But you also have tamas, you also have rajas. But now only Hari Om, more rajas and tamas. Slowly later on, tamas and rajas will come. You understand? So what is happening is, this sattva, rajas, tamas manifests. And we continue for a while, and then again we go back, like you when you go to sleep, what happens to all your sattva, rajas, tamas, again goes back. It's all the same. Just like how it happens from the individual point of view, you are able to understand the same thing is happening from the total point of view. So he's saying from the total point of view. From you, how the gunas come out and go back, like that the whole creatures proceed in the beginning and then they are all absorbed again in the end. That's all he's saying. He is the substratum from whom the gunas come and go. He is just remaining as a sakshi. So therefore he says, yata sarvani bhutani. Sarvani bhutani means what? All creatures. The known and the unknown creatures of the past, present and future. All has come from him. They are all sustained by him. They will all go back to him only. Therefore, yata sarvani bhutani bhavantyadi yugagame. Agame means when the yuga starts, they all come. And when the yuga ends, they all go back. What is happening? Isn't it? So we are all in pipeline. So one bottle comes, it gets filled, and then the tap is put, the labeling is done, and then it goes for marketing. Another bottle comes, fill it, seal it, label it, send it. Fill it, close it, label it, sell it. You know, this is what is happening. Like this, like the things that are happening in the bottling plant, coming, going. This tamasha is going on. And Brahman is just remaining as a sakshi. Everything is coming up, going on. Coming up, going on. So, this is all he's saying. From him, all these creatures proceed in the beginning and the end in him only. That Vishnu you should worship. Means what? Don't get caught in this tamasha. You go there, sit there, do your work. Corona ke baad, you've gone to your office. Okay, sit down. See what challenges you have. Some new challenges maybe. Do to the best of your ability and then get out. Don't get involved. It's not worth it. This is what it means. Not worth it. Next verse. Tasya loka pradhanasya jagannathasya bhupate Vishnor nama sahasram me shunu papa bayapaham. Tasya loka pradhanasya jagannathasya bhupate Vishnor nama sahasram me shunu papa bayapaham. rahasya of that, Vishnu whom I spoke about just now, tasya loka pradanasya. See, loka shabda also has the meaning of shastra. Loka means world. And shastra also is used, is referred by the word loka. Loka means experience. Loka means land, world, experiences. One of the meaning is shastra also. Loka pradanasya. In shastra, who is given the prominence? Who is given the prominence? Atma. Tasya loka pradanasya. Of the chief of the world. Pradanasya. Jagannathasya. Jagan. Jagat means the world. The changing. Jagat means the changing world. The world that is constantly changing. It's called Jagat. Beyond. Morning comes, goes. Afternoon comes, goes. Evening comes, goes. Night comes, goes. Then again morning comes. So that which keeps on changing is called Jagat. And Jagannatha, this is Jagannathasya means what? Jagannatha means, who is Jagannath? The changeless substratum. The Lord. See, when are you called as Lord? When will you be called as Lord?
When you're the master or in control of yourself also, right, and everything.
Yes. When nothing can control you. So anything that can control you, then you are not the Lord of that. So he says Jagannatha. All these changes doesn't make a difference to him. See, the total water in the universe, anything has happened to that? Some has evaporated and pouring down as rain. Some is there in the ocean as water. Some has gone inside the earth. It is there. Nothing has happened. For us, the tamasha is going. Some are evaporating and there as clouds. Some have poured down as rain and then gone through the rivers and mixed with the ocean. It is all happening here. But from the total kuchkane you are, everything is fine. So, Jagannathasya Bhupate. Bhupate here refers to Yudhishthira. Oh Yudhishthira, oh Pati of the Bhu. You are only Pati of the Bhu. Lord of the earth. But he is the Lord of the entire universe. You understand? And this Bhupati keeps changing. Bhupati keeps changing. The real Bhupati is him. So, tasya loka pradanasya jagannathasya bhupate vishnor nama sahasranye shrunu papa bhayapaham. O king of Vishnu, who has 1,000 names, hear from me those 1,000 names which will remove sin and fear. Papa bhaya apaham. Very interesting. It will remove the names once you understand. Once you understand that, you know, Vishnu, you will rise above the fear. Fear comes when you don't have knowledge. Ignorance brings fear. Understand? Ignorance causes fear. What are the causes of fear? When you are ignorant, you will be scared. When you don't know what is there, darkness in the walk, there is fear. Ignorant, isn't it? There is fear. And then, selfishness causes fear. Destructive nature causes fear. Otherness causes fear. So the moment you realize the self, you realize that self being the core of all beings, there is no otherness, there is only oneness. And there is oneness, where is the fear? Fear comes the moment otherness is there. Fear comes when you have selfishness. When you have oneness, there is no fear. So Vishnur Nama Sahasra Me Shrunu Papa Bhayapa. Shrunu. Shrunu means listen. Listening means what? Not just with your ears. Huh? If I am talking, as I am talking now, supposing your mobile phone is on, somebody is talking on the mobile phone to you, my lecture is also coming through your system, and some song is also going at the background. That is not shrunu. Shrunu means all preoccupations have been shut. This is the only occupation. You are listening, then you are listening. Then you are listening. Otherwise you are not listening. So that kind of listening, what happens is, when it goes inside, it gets converted into wisdom. He says, Shunu, if you listen, what will happen? Papa Bhaya Apaha. Thereafter you will not commit any sin. I told you, when you become aware, it's impossible to do wrong things. Impossible. Not possible. So sin means both good and bad desires. Punya and pap, both are called pap in Shastric language. In Shastra, when they say pap, they mean punya also. Because punya will unnecessarily delay the whole thing. They'll take you to heaven, stay there for a while and then come back. A person who understands Shastra, he will never want punya also. Neither punya nor papa. So Vishnu Nama Sahasra Meshunu Papa Vayapa. So once you listen to this Vishnu Sahasra Nama with full attention, it will remove all the bhaya. The insecurity will be gone. What will happen? Everybody is so scared. It will not be there. Bhaya. See, bhaya will be there when you are extremely individualistic, you know. Ego. The more the ego, the greater the fear. The more the oneness, the lesser the fear. That when you become one, there is no fear. See, when you come to India from some other country, you don't fear because you are oneness. But when you go to some other country and supposing you go to Africa and then you see a black man who is so tall and, you know, heavy with thick lips and all that, you get scared. The moment you board the flight Air India and then come to India, no problem. Why am I gone? Why? My people, oneness. The moment you have oneness, no bhaya. The moment you have awareness, there is no papa. You don't do things to develop punya or papa. You do things because it has to be done. Next verse. Yani namani gaunani vikyatani mahatmanaha vishibhirpari gitani tani vakshyami bhutaye. Yani namani gaunani vikyatani mahatmanaha vishibhirpari gitani tani vakshyami bhupate paribhutaye. Vishvirpari Gitani Tani Vakshyami Bhutaye. Yani Namani Gaunani Vikyatani Mahatmanaha. Those famous names of the great soul which bring out his manifold qualities celebrated by Rishi. Now, Rishi, who is Rishi? Rishi comes from the root Rish. Rish means to know. Jnanati iti Rishi. Right? So the Rishis in the deep meditative state, they receive the mantras. They receive the mantras. And those mantras were attributed to them. Therefore, Gayatri mantra was received by Vishwamitra during his meditative state. You understand? So, the Rishi for Gayatri Mantra is who Rishi for Gayatri Mantra is who? Vishwamitra. For every mantra there is a Rishi. Rishi means to know. Rish means to know. Jnanati iti Rishi. So he receives. So he says these names are celebrated by various Rishis. These are all names that has received by the Rishis and they talk about it. These were received by them in their meditative states. So those famous names of the great soul which bring out his manifold qualities. Yani namani gaunani. Guna sambandhani. Gaunani means guna sambandhani. The gunas. So obviously, the moment you talk about gunas means what? It's not Brahman. So these gunas are pointers. You can't take these gunas themselves as if you have understood Brahman. No. They are only names. They talk about the gunas. They talk about who then? They talk about Saguna Ishwara Brahman. That Nirguna Brahman has no gunas. So Yani Namani Gaunani Vikyatani Mahatma. The great rishis, they celebrate these qualities of this great soul. I shall declare that to you for your good and for the good of all. Rishipi Parigitani Tani Vakshami Bhutaye. I am doing it for the welfare of the whole world. Yes, you are asking, Yudhishthira, but I am giving it to you. But when the knowledge is given, it is not only for you, this universal application. It has universal application. So whoever prepares and with devotion takes it, they will also benefit. See, I remember in 1993 or so, in Chennai, in Tamil Nadu, my very close friend's daughter, at that time I was studying in the ashram, she wrote a letter to me. I remember that very vividly. She really studies well, you know. Her goal is to go and become a doctor. And she had written this 12th exam that time. And she's my very close friend's younger sister. Some rule was brought in that particular year. In spite of she scoring so well, she lost the medical seat by some 0.5% or something. Just that also some new rule they brought. Yes. Suddenly they brought the new rule. Something like that. So she wrote a letter, very little bit dejected and all, you know. I said, don't worry, everything will be fine. You have put in a lot of effort. So if need be, you know, write that, you can write one more exam, you know. I said, write that clear and join next year. Pursue your goal, you know, like that. But fight for it. But what had happened? Quite a few students like her apparently also lost the seat because of that some new rule. They all went to court. Not all. Some of them went to court. Some of them went to court and filed the case. And the court looked into the case and said, no. You can bring in this new law for the next year students. This year students, how can you suddenly say that in between? This is not correct. So all these students who lost it by 0.5% should get the seat. You make sure you give them seat. And when he passed the order, he did not pass the order for only those students who filed the case. He said whoever is like them, though they didn't file the case, they also should get the seat. And she had not filed the case, but she got the seat. She studied MBBS and she's a doctor now. So what I'm trying to say is, when the judge is passing the order, it's passed to everybody now, not only people who file the case. Similarly, when this knowledge is given to Yudhishthir, it's not only given to Yudhishthir, it is universal. I shall declare it for the good of all. So, with this actually, in the Mahabharata, if you see, with this, the introductory verses end, and next, he starts giving what he called the thousand names. But in tradition, in culture, we have what is called as nyasa. Nyasa means installation. And after installation, we have what is called as vision or visualization or meditation called Dhyanam. So next in our tradition, you know, after the introductory verses, they do Nyasam. Sila Nyasam. Sila Nyasam means, Sila means the idol. The idol, if you are making a temple, the sculptor will make the idol. And then you have to install the idol in the mandir. When you do that prana pratishtha, there's a lot of mantras and all the rituals and, you know, there's a procedure. So like that, before chanting the Vishnu Sahasranama, you got to install the mantra in you. You have to protect the whole body and the mind with the installation of the Lord. So that is called Nyasam. And then you actually get into visualization, Dhyanam. And after that you get into the chanting of 1000 names. So if you do like that, then you will get the 100% benefit. Therefore, Nyasam and Dhyanam comes next. After that, 1000 names will come. So before the Nyasam is given, first he gives Lagu Nyas. In short, next three shlokas he gives. After that, he gets on to Nyasam and then he gets on to Dhyanam. So all this we will see next week. Now, I will stop here. If you have any questions, please do ask.
Guruji, I have a different question which is in his mind. I mean, everyone knows what is happening in Afghanistan and so on. But my question is, do we lose our rationality? I mean, those people wanting to escape Afghanistan is all understandable. But two people clinging onto a plane wing and then falling to their death, I haven't understood the, I mean, do we lose our senses?
Yes.
When we are in that state?
Yes, of course. You don't know what you're doing. You are threatened. See, it's like you are going to die either way. So I'll try my luck.
No, but I mean, I try my luck.
You lose your intellect. Now, buddhi gone. You're not doing it anything with buddhi. The people have got so scared.
That's fear. Isn't that a perfect example of fear, where you lose your rationality because you're not thinking straight?
They lose everything, yes, of course. They can't. It's not easy.
No,
see,
I mean, my point is, I mean, how does somebody think that they can survive clinging on to
we are not in a condition to think. See, sadhana, if I put you in fasting for just one full day or 2 days or 3 days, what will happen to you? You think you will be able to think properly? All your other sodium level, this level, that level will go down, sugar will go up, and this will happen, that will happen. You will not be able to think.
It's like, I suppose if you're on the shore and there's a fire and that your reflex action is just, even if you don't know how to swim, you might just jump into the water or off the cliff because at that point of time you're scared of the fire.
Exactly.
That first.
You don't know what you're doing. Very difficult. Very difficult. Very few people can remain sane in a crisis like that. It's a very big crisis.
It's like jumping off the building when the 9/11 happened, no? When you know you'll anyway die, but it's...
You don't know what you're doing. Can't think.
I mean, the whole world is doing that. There's that earthquake, massive earthquake. Somewhere there's fire. Somewhere there's...
See, when man becomes greedy, you cannot help it. You will see how many animals are being slaughtered just for the palate's sake. And what kind of slaughtering, you know. Not like they are just treating them like objects. It's just unbelievable what the man does to the nature. Cutting off the trees and all kinds of nonsense. Literally raping the earth.
Then Guruji, if we are the only human species, is the only one with the intellect, but it is also the only species which abuses. No other animal kills
because the animal
is threatened.
Because the animals are protected now. They don't have the intellect, but they don't function beyond their limits.
Yeah,
they're hungry. When they're hungry, they eat.
Or defense. Yeah.
That's all. Do they think, mere bache ka bache ka bache ka bache ka bache ka, I have to earn now. They know bache ka bache ka bache. Next day, meal, they don't have a refrigerator to store. You understand? We have invented refrigerator, we have invented everything. We got the locker room. We got all kinds of things people do. So we really destroy the nature like anything. And when nature will do this, then we will do volcano erupt, earthquake, you are doing all nonsense you do. Huh? Such a fat ego we have that we should go in, whether there is need or not, we will be flying. And we'll be putting all the carbon footprint on the globe. Huh? Just because you cannot take 1-2 degrees extra here, you want to go somewhere. Just 2 degrees you can't take extra. 5 degrees you can't take. So you will fly and you will put the carbon footprint. You see, the mind is incredible what we are doing. This human species is the deadliest in the world. We do all kinds of nonsense. And then we say, Bhagwan hai kya nahi? Bhagwan hai, isliye ye sab chal rahe. Right, so that's it. Human beings would have finished it off. It's incredible. One needs to really sit and think what's happening. We only become want or wake up when these kind of things we see. It's happening. Everywhere it's happening.
Himachal also, all those landslides, they say because there's so much of construction that the water flow from inside, from within the mountains, is getting blocked. So now
they do all kinds of nonsense. They do all kinds of nonsense. What I'm saying now. We just get intelligence and then go on doing all the nonsense. We will do everything. We will not stop. We will not stop. What so selfishness? That's for our survival. And actually it's not going to help us. So that's why it becomes very important to be rooted in the higher knowledge. So let's conclude now.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyeva Udyatmanava Prakrite Svabhavat Karomi Abhyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayana Eti Samarpaya.
Hari Om.